I'm most proud of the culture we've created here and the culture where our team, as hard as this work is, looks forward to coming to work every day.
Hi, guys. Welcome to 2021. This is Kim Marshall, your host for the Global Wellness Summit podcast. It's fitting for one of the first episodes of the new year to be showcasing a stellar example of workplace wellness. We're talking today to the CEO of the Breakers Palm Beach, which is a 125-year young oceanfront Italian Renaissance-style luxury resort in Palm Beach, Florida. Turns out the Breakers is still in the hands of its original owners. Kind of an unheard of situation for most hotels, which end up being real estate entities that shuffle from one owner to another. Find out why the Breakers says treating their employees like family is an investment in the future of the property and how that philosophy is working, especially in the time of COVID. Now, I'm particularly passionate about workplace wellness, since you'll never guess what happened to my family in December. We'd been so very careful with mask wearing and social distancing and only meeting friends outside. But it turns out my husband's employer did not enforce mask wearing indoors, in particular in his ground floor interior office with no windows and no far UVC light to clean the air and surfaces, not even a HEPA filter in sight. Shockingly, suggestions for improving air quality in an interior room like that are right there on the CDC website for the world to see. One of his colleagues rarely wore his mask in the office and wasn't made to, while he continued to hang out with his extended family outside the office. He got COVID from his brother and then passed it on to two coworkers, one being my husband, and all of their families. Because he has an underlying condition of asthma, my husband spent a total of 6 nights in the hospital with COVID pneumonia, and his colleague was also hospitalized. And because I took care of him and was repounded with stress the second time I had to rush him to the hospital, I got COVID pneumonia too. But we're two of the lucky ones who came through the storm in one piece. But very sadly, that's not the reality for about 350,000 others and counting. In the U.S. alone. The good news is there are vaccines now, of course, that are slowly being rolled out, but we have a number of months to go before we can let our guards down. So employers and employees everywhere, please use our story as a warning example. Now is not the time to relax your COVID standards. Interestingly, the docs keep telling me that my healthy lifestyle, I've tried to keep eating right and keep averaging about 3 miles a day on the hike trails throughout this pandemic, help me have such mild symptoms throughout, even with pneumonia. To think, though, that our need for some of the overstretched medical resources in LA and the toll on our mental and emotional health could have been avoided if workplace wellness had been a priority for his company is truly mind-boggling. But today, let's focus on a good example of how to do workplace wellness right at the Breakers. And it shows in their employees, who are so cool. Global Wellness Summit attendees were actually the first allowed to dance at the Breakers since the pandemic at our masquerade ball because we promised to keep our masks on. Every now and then, one of the mask wait staff would join us for a twirl on the dance floor. It was joyful and soul enriching, and it was always safety first. Anyway, meet Paul Leone, CEO of the Breakers, and find out why it's just good business to make love and care for employees part of your company's mission statement. Mr. Leone, I want to congratulate you for being the launch interview and the 2020 Global Wellness Summit's podcast series. The season here being recorded at the Breakers, the famous Breakers. So welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And I will tell our listeners that Paul Leone is the CEO of the Breakers. That's not a small job. Tell us why, if you would, please, that the Breakers Resort in West Palm Beach, in Palm Beach, right?
Palm Beach.
Is one of the most iconic hotels in the world. How come?
Wow. Let me count the ways. you know, there's so many reasons. And I think fundamentally it is begins with our history, coming up on our 125th year in business.
Amazing.
There aren't many properties that can celebrate that in this great country. And in conjunction with that, it's not just the years, but it's the quality. Mm. And by that, I will say we're really proud to be the only large historic luxury resort in America still in the hands of its original owners.
Okay, that is unbelievable.
It really is.
I've been in the hotel business my entire career. And, you know, sometimes your heart breaks because it just, your beloved hotels change owner and owner and owner and the vision and the dream of that, you know, possibility. But this has been nurtured for how many decades? Well,
right, exactly. And that is really such a big part of the secret sauce. It's the continuity. It's the care. This is not just a business to the Keenan family. Right. This goes way beyond that. They care so much about this. They know how much it impacts our community and our team. And every minute of every day that we continue this record makes it even more special. It's so unique.
Well, let's paint a picture because this podcast goes to anybody with an internet connection from Turkey to Tahiti, right? So if they've never been to Palm Beach, the coast of Florida. I get my east and west so mixed up because I live in Los Angeles. But you come from the city of West Palm Beach and you cross a bridge into Nirvana, one of the most beautiful, quaint, high-end luxury villages in the world. And then what does it look like when you drive down the driveway to come here?
Yeah, so it's an amazing sight. I think people who see it for the first time are stunned, really. It's because, first of all, it's a one-off. You've never seen a building, whether it's a hotel or otherwise, like this. So if you pull up into the front driveway and you look towards the ocean, about 1,000-foot-long driveway, perfectly maintained, lush tropical landscaping. And above it is what we and many people refer to as the Palace by the Sea. Mm-hmm. This palatial, one-of-a-kind architecture, Italian Renaissance building that is stunning. It's majestic. Again, perfectly maintained. We'll probably talk a little about that. That's a big part of our brand and our story. And so you see the palace, and it's surrounded by 140 acres
Crazy.
Of lush tropical landscaping. Yeah, there's really very few other pieces of real estate, contiguous real estate like this in the country, maybe the world. And on its eastern border, of course, is a 30 miles of beach on the Atlantic Ocean.
But what is so amazing is we're here during the week of a tropical, it's a storm, it's not a hurricane. And these palm trees are just so adaptable. They're bending to the wind and the waves. But the thing my partner and I keep saying is you feel so secure in this sturdy building that has seen decades of storms, right? It's a beachfront location.
It is. And the building we're in, the palace, as we call it, is the third rendition of the breakers. The first two, the first in 1896, the second in 1904, and this building, 1926.
Oh.
So this building is 94 years young, given the way we take care of it.
Now, let's explain when you check in the front desk, what is the deal with your ceilings? I could stare at those gilded, Moroccan-looking, what are they?
Yeah, they're hand-painted fresco ceilings. So this is one of the many interesting and amazing facets of our history. In 1925, after the second breakers burned down, the Keenan family said, we're going to rebuild, and this time we're going to build it in a way that will hopefully stand the test of time and fires and things like that. So we went from wooden structures to this cementitious hollow block building. And they built this in 11 months.
Crazy.
Brought in artisans from all over the world, many from Italy, to build this and do the hand painting that you see in a number of areas, including the lobby.
So, you know, it's heads, the business of hoteling sometimes is reduced to heads in beds, right? And why is it so much more here? First of all, how many beds do you have? How many rooms? And how many employees?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Heads in beds is a term that's used a lot in our business, but that's not the way we look at it at the Breakers. And a lot of that, again, comes back to this family ownership. This is not just owned by a family. It's by a family that treats everyone who works here like family, maybe better. and so we have 538 guest rooms. We have 140 acres of property, as I mentioned earlier. And we have, pre-pandemic, we had 2,200 employees on the payroll. And I will tell you, we probably have arguably 500 more employees on the payroll than you would find at a similar size resort in the luxury sector. Hmm. They say, well, how can that be? Are you guys crazy?
Yeah.
And actually, the answer is it's because we have created a culture where in this very difficult business, we know we need reinforcements. We know people need quality of life. It's a difficult business. As you know, it's a 24/7 holidays, weekends,
no days,
late nights. And we made a commitment many years ago to try and to not just be the best hotel in our weight class, but to being the greatest place to work. And so we're proud to say today we enjoy best-in-class employee satisfaction. Hmm. And I can tell you a little more about that. Best-in-class guest satisfaction, best-in-class social impact. We have a huge involvement in this community. And of course, to do all that, you've got to have best-in-class financial performance. This is not a charity.
Yeah.
Our owners have an enormous investment in this business. And back to the employee count, that extra 500 people by industry standards is not an expense. It's an investment. It's an investment in employee satisfaction, right? And employee engagement, employee productivity, and putting our money where our mouth is.
Well, let me ask you about a particular situation. 2017, we were here for the full-blown Global Wellness Summit,
right?
You know, way before COVID, right? So about 600 people. And your senior VP of HR or whatever got on stage and talked about your employee wellness program. And I've worked in hotels. I know that to the public, you can say one thing, but behind the scenes, you can kind of do what you want. But I was like, why would they invest that much? So describe to me your employee wellness program.
Oh, our employee wellness program ties to our core mission, which is we like to say it's not just about making a profit, it's about making a difference. And so there is, without question, there's this family care piece that we feel so responsible for the people that work with us and for us. We feel a responsibility to not just help them earn a good paycheck, but live a good life.
So do you have a farmer's market for your employees? Did I hear that?
We do. We have a farmer's market. I mean, we have countless programs that all have helped us, as I cited earlier, achieve this level of engagement that helps us fulfill this mission of caring, genuinely caring for our people. But the fact of the matter is it also drives a higher return on investment.
Yeah.
Right?
It's smart business.
It's smart business. It's doing well and doing good. But at its core, and this isn't a game, it's not a mission, it's not a program, we love our people, we love our team, and we treat them that way, and they give it right back to us and our company and our guests and our community. And I'm able to say, you know, the arguably most successful resort of its kind in the world.
Well, I will say that we keep talking about resetting the world with wellness here in 2020, now more than ever. But the old axiom, anyone who listens to this podcast will know that we say it all the time, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if you can teach your employees at work that proactive wellness is the best way to live, but it also saves you money because they're not out sick, right?
There's no question. And again, the two go hand in hand, doing well and doing good, so to speak. Our healthcare costs are significantly lower than the benchmark. And that makes us, you know, that not only is better for our returns, it feels good, right? We're taking better care of people. And that spills out into their families, into the community, and hopefully, as just like with the global wellness, we're part of this mission, mm-hmm. this movement to try to take better care of our people and our world.
Well, I will be honest with you. Everybody was like, Are Susie and Nancy really having the 2020 summit in person? How dare they? You know, that is not setting the right example. And I will say that as I got ready to go, my family was like, you're going to the hotspot of Florida where people aren't so strict, because I'm from California, where you're like, boom.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And what are you doing? And one of the figures that I heard really motivated me, my friend Kim D'Orsay, who came here ahead of time, talked to someone in HR here at The Breakers, and they said that you've been reopened since the end of May, not one employee has tested positive. Am I right?
Okay. We've been open since the end of May, and we have had some positive tests.
Oh, okay.
That's not accurate. But I will say this. We have only had one employee that I know of that was hospitalized. That's kind of, and came out fine, thank God.
Wow.
We have not had any serious issues, any transmissions. So reopening the hotel, of course, the biggest fear was, right, would we be
a super spreader place?
Exactly, be a spreader. And so that has not happened at all. And as you can see, attending this conference here today, I hope you feel comfortable.
Hey, I am sitting 12 feet away from you.
Right.
Our air has been sanitized, UV lighted. We've sprayed the microphones with Clean Republic natural cleanser. But I also see that the employees are wearing their mask. There's not a lot of pushback. I see hand sanitizer everywhere, and people are committed to it. So we have to live this way.
Right.
For now.
Right.
Right? So we adapt, just like every hotelier. Speaking of adapting, can you give us a couple examples of, through history, some of the big things that have happened here? Have there been G8 summits or anything like that?
Wow. This hotel has, I don't know about a G8 summit, but this hotel has hosted numerous presidents. We host some of the most important association meetings in the country, some of the biggest, most important corporate meetings. We, at one point in our history, in World War II, the hotel was taken over by the federal government, the U.S. Army.
Wow.
And run as an Army hospital. We did our part in the war.
How long? Do you know how long that lasted?
I believe that lasted maybe a couple of years. And,
wow.
And, you know, it was quite disruptive, by the way. But, you know, went along with it successfully and then converted this back to the resort following the end of the war.
Now let's meet the sponsor of this season's podcast, Mark Faulkner, the founder of Vireo Systems. So Mark, you really give me a whole new lease on life, because I've never seen anyone be so excited about lab discoveries and research. But what I wanted to ask you to wrap up our beautiful discussion is, you know, we talk about tribes and community.
Mm-hmm.
When you had the courage and the, I don't know, chutzpah to just come and believe me, have you found anybody in your tribe here?
Oh, very much so. And it starts with you, Kim.
Oh,
it, that was the reason. I didn't know the Global Wellness Institute or this summit prior to Jane introducing you to me.
Right.
But first of all, we talked a lot in this summit so far about relationships and the importance of as you said, talking and connecting with people. And I had the opportunity to connect with Jane a few years back, and I think the world of her, and I trust her. But we've got a good, great relationship.
Yeah.
And so when she said, Mark, you need to talk to these people. This is your tribe. I just simply trusted and believed her.
Okay.
And then I talked to you and met you, and I thought, okay, this does. There's just a resonance there that makes me believe that the folks who are espousing these sorts of tenets, these sorts of priorities, are exactly the community within which Vireo and our products and our outlook on life coexists.
And you know, Mark, we've got a lot to do. We always say, if not now, when, right? For wellness, go to the fore. And one of my mentors in wellness was the son of the founder of Rancho La Puerta, Alex Zake. And he used to say, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just ride the, what do you call that thing behind a truck when you ride their wind?
Oh, drafting.
Yeah. So we can draft and help each other because the world needs us.
Yes.
So welcome to the tribe, Mark. We cannot wait to take this journey with you.
I'm thrilled and honored to be a part of it. Thank you for admitting me and accepting me.
Anytime. Until the next time.
There we go.
So tell me, what is that commitment from the Flagler family? Is it that, what is reinvested every year in the upkeep?
It's staggering. And again, you know, as an independent property, throughout our history, we set our own standards. That's not that we don't pay attention to industry standards, but we've been able to set our own standards. And with a taking more of a long-term perspective, whereas today, to a great degree, the hotel industry really is the real estate industry. It's a lot of very significant investors trading in real estate assets. And that's a good business too, but we're in the traditional hospitality business for the long haul. And so one of the decisions we made many years ago was with regard to reinvesting. A property as busy as ours, because we're blessed to be extremely busy, and as large as ours, and with the intensity, with the proximity to the ocean and the weather, we learned a valuable lesson back in the 80s. And that is, you do not want to fall behind on maintenance or capital. It's very hard to play catch up.
Yeah.
Not only physically getting the work back done and getting back in the game, but in terms of your brand. You know, you go to a great hotel and you have a great experience. You come back 5 years later and you're like, I don't know, something's not
off.
It's off, right?
And it's happened to me numerous times.
Yeah. It's typically, you know, involves a change in ownership, you know, and the hotel has stepped up in basis. Someone had to buy it for a bigger price and can they keep up? So back to us, we invest on average reinvest $30 million a year in this property.
It's so hard to believe. And the commitment to do that, because people can't look at a P&L and see that investment pays off. But, you know, how fitting that the very first model summit in wellness would be here, because this poor hotel industry and the travel industry has been cut off at the knees because of COVID. We can spin it positively any way we want. But, you know, before the pandemic, wasn't travel the number one employer in the world?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So between the airlines, hotels, restaurants, spas, we're part of a group of businesses that has taken the hardest hit. And so we're so thankful that Global Wellness decided to forge ahead.
Yep.
And it's interesting. I listened to Susie Ellis this morning in the opening use the term building a bridge, or using this as a bridge to getting back in business. And that's a term I've used from the get-go. When we reopened on May 22nd, we were closed for 8 weeks.
Oh, that's not as long as some, man.
Right. It was kind of miraculous. We closed. We were the first big business in Palm Beach to close. The local authorities were really appreciative that we led by example. They didn't have to tell us to close. You know, we could see what was sort of coming down the pike, but that's not why we did it. I felt the sentiments of our employees. People were very nervous, you know, and of course, all of the other constituents. And I said, you know what, let's get out of the way. But the minute we got out of the way, our executive team, 15 of us, and of course, many other people, but our leadership team, we closed on March 18th. We were going at it full speed, nonstop, to figure out how to reopen. And not for the sake, not to sound righteous, but not just to get back into making a profit, but and I want to come back to the point about a bridge, building a bridge, but about maintaining some sense of normal when we could see that this was going to be a long haul. And Dr. Carmona spoke about it this morning. People can't be detached for, what's now 8 months from their loved ones, from their jobs. We wanted to get back in business. So first to close, and one of the first opens to reopen. 8 weeks, we did the work of, you know, probably 4 months in 8 weeks, and felt very comfortable reopening the Thursday before Memorial Day. And as we talked about earlier, I've had an incredibly successful run. Number one measure is safety. Safety, safety, safety. We've, of course, our occupancy is way down, but we've been able to build this bridge. How do we get back to not even normal? How do we maintain some sense of connection and normal? And so hybrid meetings is one way to do this.
Yeah. And it's been really exciting to see it work. You know, push a button and the face comes up from Sweden or whatever.
Right.
But what I wanted to also ask you is, you're known for having one of the most expansive and progressive resort spas in the industry, which of course is where I first learned about wellness in the spa industry. How did you guys approach reopening the spa? Because I really need a massage. Is it safe in there?
It is definitely safe. We're ready for you. But I will say, it was one of the businesses that we held back on. So when we opened on May 22nd, there were a number of businesses we held back on. Spa was one, a family entertainment center, you know, young children in a playroom and on a playground. You know, we held back. And then as we started opening the spa, we did it gradually. Manicures, pedicures, open air spa rooms. We have three rooms that open up to the courtyard, and you'll get the ocean breeze.
Perfect.
And then we'll start adding indoor rooms. The last thing to come back will be facial treatments. Just feel people, right? That's really getting very close in a small space.
Well, we interviewed an equipment manufacturer on the podcast, and it's Earthlight, and they have this shield that comes up between the faces on the massage table. And because the first time I had a massage, and when I felt okay till I turned over and it was masked face to masked face. And
right.
You're like, maybe this isn't such a good idea. So we'll find a way, because now more than ever, people need touch, right?
No doubt about it. The demand, so to that point, as we, you know, gradually reopen the spa, the demand was there. People, you're absolutely right. And it even, in a different but similar way, our restaurant business, even though occupancy is way off, our restaurant and retail businesses are up.
Wow.
People need, you know, people want to get out safely, but they want to get out. They want to be touched, as you said, whether it's physically with a massage or just in a social setting. And again, our 17th Surgeon General, a wonderful job talking about it this morning, the mental health aspect of this.
Oh my God. And you know, it's so crazy that you have to mask everywhere else. But you know, here on the podcast, of course, we're so far apart and we've cleaned the air and we've done everything. But, so our microphones work. But in a restaurant, that's the hardest thing, because you take it off to eat. So you think, oh, am I back to normal? Do I get really close? But we love that the employees follow the guidelines and they're very careful about it. The one thing I wanted to say, what's so funny, is a real sign I ask everyone, if you go to a hotel, look at the uniforms, because the care that's in a uniform means how much your employer cares about you. In a spa uniform, same. And this morning when we went to what used to be a buffet, and it's still kind of like a buffet,
right,
only you have it shielded and you have the servers serving you instead of you spooning in. So that was fun. But the dresses that the, you know, hostesses wear, I would wear in public. I'm like, okay, somebody loves you. And even their shoes were cute. So
I'm glad you noticed. And it's so true. And it's like everything else we do. We were talking about capital reinvestment, our investment in equipment, and uniforms, everything at a much higher level.
Yeah, so it shows. But now we're going to send this out to the world. And every great city, of course, typically has a great hotel, right? And it's often the heartbeat of the community. I remember when I was on the team to open the Grand Wailea on Maui, I actually started a year and a half ahead of time. And I kept thinking, what do they want me here so early for? But one of my jobs was to go out into the community, to Rotary clubs, to ladies' luncheons, and do a little slideshow about what was coming. Because we wanted to be the hotel where if your Aunt Matilda was visiting, stay there. Or if you had a graduation or a wedding, go there. How much is the community part of the Breakers?
We like to say, as Palm Beach goes, so goes the Breakers. And as the Breakers go, so goes Palm Beach. Wow. It is, we are so fortunate to be situated on this island. You mentioned as we started this talk, coming over that bridge to this really fantasy sort of land. It's so beautiful, the architecture, the landscaping, the calmness, the smallness, and yet the sophistication of it. We're so blessed. And I think to your point, I know, because I hear this from my friends and colleagues, the town really appreciates having this amazing hotel as its sort of community center, this icon that, and thanks again to the Keenan family for maintaining it this way, because if it were not, it's such a big part and so centrally located, it could have the opposite effect on a community.
Be a drag.
Mm-hmm. Right? It could be, but it's not. It's actually, it is the community center. People's relatives stay here. We have a huge following in our restaurants from the locals, our shops. We have a club membership business. So the locals enjoy the resort as club members as opposed to hotel guests. Their families stay here. We host, God knows, the vast majority of community civic events. Charity, the Kiwanis, the Lions, the Forum Club,
like
the Chamber of Commerce.
Like a good hotel should. Yeah.
Right, you did it and Grandma, that's why they brought you in. Exactly. If you can be that center, it's going to be even more successful. And so we enjoy that, and I think the town appreciates, and again, we so appreciate the quality of this town.
So what's your favorite thing about being a GM? Why do you think you could tell your kids, your grandchildren in 2030 or 2040, Grandpa, tell me about 2020. What was it like? What are you going to be most proud of?
Oh, wow. That's easy. I'm most proud of the culture we've created here and the culture where our team, as hard as this work is, looks forward to coming to work every day.
Well, let me go deeper on that, okay. Mr. Leone. Prove it. Tell me how. In the morning, do you have like a check-in meeting with all your employees at 9:30, at 3 o'clock? How do you specifically keep them charged up?
Listen, we have a couple hours. the short answer to that is actions speak louder than words. Okay, number one. Number two, within that, this isn't a program. It's not a motto. It's real. It's every day on the ground proving how much we care. My good friend, Michael Bush, who will be speaking tomorrow, CEO of Great Place to Work, leading company of its kind with employee survey.
Oh, Great Place to Work.
Right? Employee sentiments. Will tell you from all of his experience, and it applies here, put your people first. Well, what does that mean? Back to, you know, every day? It means you cited the uniforms. We could buy uniforms for half the price of those uniforms.
Polyester, tight, uncomfortable, yep.
Right. We could, we don't have to have an on-site health clinic. We can let our employees, fend for themselves. It's actions speak louder than words. Our investment in our people, working conditions, uniforms, wellness programs you asked about earlier, it's across the board. And I'm not boasting, I'm just explaining, it's, And I use the word, it's an investment. I think one of the challenges for a lot of companies particularly with high level of debt and short-term sort of perspective, time horizon, is these come off as expenses. To us, they're investments in people and in their experience. So I'm most proud of the culture. Our people look forward to coming to work every day. And at the end of a really hard day, feel gratified because of the way we care for them. And it's a servant leadership model. And again, that's a terminology. It sounds like a program. It starts with me. I'm here to help others succeed. Our leaders are here. I've already been successful. My job is to help others succeed in any way and every way we can.
Okay, well, one thing I want to say is there's no shortage of hotels in Southern Florida. So competition is everywhere. But, you know, one of the sponsors here is Omrit, that's being built about 30 minutes away on Singer Island in the same county, right?
Yes.
And they're really positioning themselves as a wellness destination, that you want to live in a wellness community if you buy there or if you stay there. And then they have high-tech programs, whatever. But I think that the Breakers has so much going on, the public at large could not ever get it, that you also, at your core, at your soul, our wellness property. Mm. So that's one reason we really wanted you on, Mr. Leone, because we really want to tell the world, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. This just could look like a luxury five-star property with all the bells and whistles, but deep inside. How important is that to you, to be known that way?
Oh, it's so important. And it comes back to, as I said earlier, it's not just about making a profit. It's about making a difference, being a really responsible business. Yeah, we have all kinds of luxury products, and you can come here and enjoy just sort of being in the lap of luxury. But you can, as you just pointed out, this is a wellness experience. The level of physical activity here, the outdoor spaces, and it's not just about the spa, it's about the entire property, is a really healthy, both physically and emotionally, family. Again, I'll cite Dr. Carmona, you know, the family gathering business here, bringing people together, how important that is in so many ways. And so, luxury and wellness go hand in hand.
That's right. There is no luxury if there's no wellness, right? But then to set the example, because we want to be a ripple effect out into the community, the server who learns wellness techniques here could go home and help his family live the same way. Those farmers market vegetables they get helps their family and the, you know, principles they learn here. So we just think it's really fitting that you were the inaugural episode of this season of the Global Wellness Summit podcast, Paul Leone. So thank you for being our number one guest and for setting the example for us all.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Well, that's our episode for this week. Thanks for letting us share our passions with you. If you enjoyed it, please tell your friends, since everyone deserves to know all they can about wellness, especially now. Thanks to Crate Media for their engineering and editing savvy, and to Vireo Systems for being smart enough to sponsor this podcast. Can't wait to get together again.